Let's hear a gospel text about Christmas from Luke. From Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary, and she was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Luke chapter 1. And from Paul's letter to the Galatians. "When the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman who was subject to the law," a reference to the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, in other words. "God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to that law," the law of Moses, "so that he could adopt us as his very own children." These are the scripture readings today, and I want to ask you to pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the beauty of this day, in this group of people, and in your word. And pray that your word would come across to our hearts today, that we might find comfort, peace, encouragement, challenge, and go forth from this place knowing that we are better people for having spent this hour with you. For we ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. Appreciate the little amen corner over here. I've been missing that lately. It's good to see you back. Oh, I want to talk about online dating today. An online dating service interviewed 3,000 of its people who were using that website to find out which were the most annoying cliches that people put on their profile, as it were. And these are the top cliches that people voted as the most annoying cliches. First for the women. The top cliche for the women was, "No liars or game players." Second one was for the women, "There isn't enough space here to sum up my life," quickly followed by a long summation of the person's life. Top annoying cliches for men. "I really know how to treat a lady." And the men say, "I enjoy long moonlit nights on the beach." Do you know that there is a niche for every market in the dating today? They're just about for everything. You can go online dating sites for vampires if you want to. If farmers are your thing, there's a farmersonly.com. Their motto is, "City folk just don't get it." If you like to go where no man has gone before, there's a website called Trek Passions. Trek Passions. And their motto is, "Love long and prosper." And if you'd like to mix a little Mary Jane in with your dating, there's a site for that too, and their motto is, "Why toke alone?" If you're one of the 500 million people 50 million people in America who've dabbled in online dating, that you've discovered there's a threefold process in that experience. The first step is when you, you're in a chat room, and we might consider this what I'm calling today hard copy. You're in a chat room and you're typing back and forth, and there's this communication in that way. I'm referring to it as hard copy. And if people find a hard copy compatibility, they move on to the second step in the process, which is voice. They actually pick up a telephone and they speak to one another on the telephone. And if everything goes along well, then they take the third step, and that is they have a face-to-face encounter. They meet somewhere, not in cyberspace, but in real space, and they have a face-to-face encounter. So the threefold process is hard copy to voice to face-to-face. Not unlike the process that God chose to use in his love affair with you and I. He went from hard copy to voice to face-to-face. What do I mean by hard copy? I mean the Ten Commandments. Talk about hard copy, two stone tablets with God's law written on it. That's how he first chose to communicate, in a sense, to prove his love for us. He wasn't trying to be a tyrant and to control their lives. He gave them that law because he knew if they followed that law, that they would have blessing in their lives and peace, and everything would go amazing for them. That was the intent and the purpose of the law, the commandments. Unfortunately, the people living at the time chose to live life apart from God and do exactly what they wanted to do, even if it went against God's law. But that didn't deter God for a moment. He was loving us relentlessly. And so he moved on from hard copy to voice. He spoke in a clear, powerful, prophetic voice in that section of the Old Testament we know of as the prophets. And he had verses in there like from Micah, the prophet, who says, "What is God asking you except to love kindness and mercy and to walk humbly with your God?" And the prophets encourage as much as they can the people. But the people in Old Testament times continued, at least the majority of them, seemed to continue to reject God and his law and to worship other gods. You know how that went. And so God raised up another prophetic voice that began to warn the people. And warning of the prophets is a major theme when you study the prophets. That's a major part of the prophecy, warning people. If you guys don't straighten up and get your act together, there's going to be dire consequences. And eventually there were. We're talking about the destruction of Israel and Judah at the hands of the Assyrians and the Babylonians. There's destruction. But then out of the midst of that destruction, the prophets begin to give a word, a glimmer of hope. And we heard one today from Isaiah, that a virgin shall be with a child, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And there's the covenant from Jeremiah that I neglected to read this morning, didn't I? Jeremiah the prophet, who talks about a new covenant. It won't be like the old covenant, which my people broke, but this is a new covenant, and I'm going to place it in the people's hearts, and there will be forgiveness of sins. And he's prophesying about the new covenant that we have found in Jesus. And so the prophets. And how do the people respond to the prophets? They ignore them, they stone them, they kill them. To be sure, that's not all people did, but the majority appeared to. And so Jesus, when comes along, he's talking about the holy city and the reputation of Jerusalem. He says it's the city that's known for stoning the prophets. Sad. But God didn't give up on them yet, okay? He moved from hard copy to the prophetic voice to face-to-face encounter. God came all the way from heaven to earth in Jesus. The very first verse in the letter to the Hebrews says, "In latter times, God spoke to us in many and various ways through the law and the prophets, but in this time, he's spoken to us in his Son." And so in techno-speak, my friends, if I might use that term, God moved from hard copy commandments to the prophetic voice to a face-to-face encounter with his Son, Jesus Christ, a time that we celebrate at Christmas and call the Incarnation, God becoming human flesh. Are you following that logic? Does that seem to work? Hard copy to voice to face-to-face. What wonderful love is this? That's what we're talking about. What amazing love is this? That God went the ultimate distance, my friends. He came all the way from heaven to earth. He would have been completely justified in turning his back After all the rejection he gets throughout the centuries of the Old Testament and his people turn their backs on him, he would have been justified in turning his back on us, but he did not. We are talking about the relentless pursuit of you and I. We're talking about the love of God that will not let us go. It's amazing love. Billy Graham enjoyed telling the story about walking around his farm in the beautiful hills of North Carolina. And he was walking around some pastures one day and he came across an ant hill that had been crushed by a cow. Cow came by with his hoof, stepped right on that ant hill. Billy Graham noticed that. He knelt down like this and he could see that their home had kind of been destroyed, that some of the ants were laying there dead, and some of them were still alive and writhing in pain and running around in confusion because their whole world had just been turned upside down. And Billy said, "I wish I could have been an ant right then, because I would have loved to have gone down there and tell them that I'm so sorry that this upheaval had come into their world." But Billy says, "Of course, I couldn't become an ant, and so I moved on." And then he would say in his sermon, "But when God looked down from heaven and saw all the turmoil on the earth brought about by the consequences of sin, he did not move on by. He came to the earth in a wonderful way in Jesus Christ, the Son, in a face-to-face encounter with people who were living in the first century." Now, to be sure, just like today, some accepted him and some rejected him. John gives us that sad verse, "He came to his own and his own received him not." But then he follows it up with that glad verse, "But to everyone who did receive him, he gave them the right to be called children of God." So Jesus came to first century people face to face, and don't you wish you could have been there to see him face to face? Think about that. Wouldn't it have been cool to have been there face to face to see Jesus in action? But it wasn't to be for us. Someday it will be. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says that someday we will see him face to face. Someday that'll happen. But until that time, you and I, the only way we can see him face to face is through faith. Faith. And that's where sometimes us sophisticated adults have problems. Seems like the older we get and the more we're disappointed in life and somebody lets us down, and it kind of affects our faith and our trust, and we become somewhat jaded as we get older. Or sometimes we go down the road of, you know, "I only believe in it if I see it," and we want proof. It's little wonder that Jesus, in trying to instill faith in some thick-headed religious adults in his time, pulled a little kid over in front of him and said, "Childlike faith if you ever want to get into the kingdom. And if you don't have childlike faith, you will never," he goes, "no, never enter the kingdom of God without childlike faith." Why? Because those kids just believe. You just tell them, and they believe. They speak as if they had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. "Saw Jesus yesterday. Yeah, Jesus played in the sandbox with me today." That's how the kids talk, you know. I was reading a story about a kid who was a little boy was growing up in a Catholic family, and he wanted a bicycle for Christmas very, very badly. So he wrote out a little prayer on Christmas Eve, and he wrote, "Mary, Mother of God, would you please see that I get a bicycle tomorrow morning?" And he placed that note that he wrote down in this prayer next to a little statue of the Blessed Virgin on his table next to his bed. Got up the next morning, went out, looked under the tree. He didn't get a bicycle. But this kid was relentless, and he was not about to give up, and he had childlike faith. And so that night, he wrote another note, and he took first the statue of the Blessed Virgin, and he wrapped her up in a towel and put her in the bottom drawer of his dresser, all, you know, and he put a note there, and the note said, "Jesus, if you ever want to see your mom again, I better get that bike tomorrow." But pay a few bills and mow the lawn a few times and rigor mortis begins to set in, spiritually speaking. Childlike faith. If you want to see Jesus face to face, my friends, you got to have childlike faith in who Jesus was and what he came to do. For in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the curse of the law. That's you and I. He came to redeem us, to buy us back. That's what the word means. To pay a price that we were supposed to pay, but he paid it instead for us. Childlike faith in the death of Christ. Childlike faith opens the door to seeing Jesus face to face. Opens the door. And we could continue to see him face to face through the words of the Scripture, through the four Gospels, through the four Gospels. I don't know if it comes first. Sometimes it's faith, and then you start reading the Bible and wonderful pictures of Jesus. Sometimes you read the Bible, and then the faith comes later. I don't know which order it comes. It's always different with each person. But it just seems to me that if you want to come face to face with Jesus, you not only need childlike faith, but we can do so through the Scriptures. And I know that we didn't see Jesus because we didn't live in the first century, but we can, if we want to, join with those first century people who saw him for the very first time. We can join them in the synagogue at Nazareth when Jesus has his coming out party. And he quotes from the prophet Isaiah in, where is that? Luke chapter 4. And Jesus says, quoting the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, and that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." We can have faith to see Jesus face to face through these gospel stories. In Matthew, we can see the fulfillment of what Jesus said at his coming out party. We can read about the fulfillment of it. Here's a summation verse in Matthew. "And so Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And news about him spread as far as Syria. And people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed, or epileptic, or paralyzed, he healed them all. And large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee and the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from the east of the Jordan River." A little later on in the Gospel of Matthew, there's another summation verse similar to that. "Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." My friends, we can come face to face with Jesus in childlike faith. And as we come to the gospel stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you want to come face to face with Jesus in order to make your relationship with him deeper? Read the Gospels that have been preserved for us. What a blessing to have the preservation of these four stories of Jesus. If you want to see him face to face, open up the Bible. N.T. Wright is a famous biblical scholar, theologian, Anglican bishop. He's one of the most premier writers about the Christian faith today. N.T. Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. Go on YouTube and see some of the things that he says. He was one day asked by someone, "If someday you're laying on your deathbed and you were able to answer questions or speak anything to your own children, what would you tell your children from your deathbed?" And he said, "I would tell them to look into the face of Jesus." And he went on to explain, if you want to see God, look into the face of Jesus. If you want to see what it is to be human, look into the face of Jesus. If you want to know what love is, look into the face of Jesus. And then not only look as a spectator, but join as a participant in the divine drama with Jesus as the central character. Where do we do that? In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I encourage you, if you haven't been in one of those stories recently, open up your Bible. See the face of Christ revealed. Another place we can see Jesus face to face is in prayer. I would be remiss if I didn't say that we can come face to face with Jesus in prayer. I love the story of this lady who calls the local pastor. She doesn't know him. She just knows there's a church down the road. Her father is living with her and he's dying. Pastor, would you come and visit my father? The pastor comes to the house. He's taken into the bedroom where this man is lying. He notices an empty chair next to the bed, and the pastor says, I can see that you expected me, that I was coming. And the guy said, no, I didn't know that you were coming at all. And he said, Pastor, will you close the door, please? The pastor closed the door, and he begins to tell this story, and he says, I've not even told my daughter this. That's why I want you to close the door. And he begins to say, I've never been very experienced in prayer. I never really discovered all my life how to pray. And one day one of my friends came over to me and I was telling him how I wish I knew how to pray. And my friend said to me, Joe, praying is just simple. It's just having a conversation with Jesus, just like you and I are having a conversation right now. Just talking and listening, talking and listening. That's what prayer is all about. And he says, Joe, this is what I learned to do a few years ago, and I'm going to suggest this for you too. He says, when you want to pray, just sit down in a chair and have an empty chair right across from you. And just close your eyes and imagine that Jesus is sitting right there in that chair. And then just pour your heart out and talk to Jesus and listen, just like we're talking here. And this man told this pastor, I started that a few years ago, and it's changed my life. And now I can't go a day without sitting down across from that empty chair and talking to Jesus face to face. The pastor was highly encouraged by that and went away, and a couple weeks later got a call from that lady to tell the pastor that her father had passed away. And the pastor said, did he die in peace? And she said, yes. She said, I was going to the grocery store and I went into, you know, tell him I was going to the grocery store. He told me one of his corny jokes, and then he kissed me goodbye, told me he loved me, and I went to the store. When I got home a couple hours later, he was gone. She said, but there was something strange, Pastor, about his death. When I came in, I found him. And for some reason, he had his head laid down on the chair that was next to his bed there. And that's how I found him. The man went to be with the Lord, having just met him face to face. Prayer is a way to meet Jesus face to face, my friends. Prayer. I received my December issue of the Reader's Digest a few days ago, and it opened up to that section about life in these United States. And a nurse was talking about how I work in a children's hospital, and I was on the ward one night, and I was down at the desk, and I could hear this little boy in this room, and he was just talking to himself, I guess. He just kept going on, and I could listen to his patter for about 15 minutes. And so finally, I just got on the intercom, and I said in a strong but firm voice, Johnny, it's time to go to sleep now. And she said, after a few seconds, she heard him say, okay, God, I will. That boy was face to face. She didn't know he was praying. She just thought he was talking to himself, but he was face to face with the Lord. You want to come face to face with the Lord? Through the scriptures and through prayer. And finally, I would need to say that we come face to face in a more powerful way than I've ever known when we come to the communion table, where we see grace and love on display. Grace and love is on display on this table. I don't know of any other thing that you can get closer to Jesus than taking a little piece of bread and putting in your mouth and swallowing it as the body of Christ, and following that up with a little cup of juice, the blood of Christ. There's something about when you take the blood and it's face-to-face stuff with the Lord Jesus and the love and the grace. I'll close with a story about a doctor, a surgeon, Richard Selzer was his name. And he was operating on a woman in her mid-30s who had a tumor somewhere around her ear. And in order to cut out that tumor, he had to cut a nerve on her face that controlled her smile. And when she came out of the surgery, her mouth was going to be disfigured. I'm a little sensitive on this story because my best friend's wife just went through this very thing, and her greatest fear going into the surgery, Wendy said, was that she was going to lose the ability to smile, and indeed she has. Anyway, the doctor was concerned for her and her husband and was wondering how the husband was going to react to the fact that her smile was going to be permanently disfigured in a sense. But he was kind of relieved and encouraged when he happened to be in the room when the husband came in to see her after the surgery, and he was warm and caring and even made a little joke about her new cute look. But his encouragement turned to awe when that husband bent down to his wife face to face and twisted his lips in just the right way that they would match hers and gave her a kiss on the lips. Although Jesus was God, he did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but he divested himself of his heavenly glory. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. And in so doing, Jesus bent down to the world face to face and twisted his lips to match the misshapen lips of a world twisted by sin with his love and his grace. How shall we then respond? How shall we then respond? By meeting him face to face. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scriptures that tell us about the incarnation, the amazing truth that God became human flesh for the very purpose of rescuing us. Thank you for saving our souls through childlike faith that these things are true indeed. And I pray that all of us will avail ourselves not only of that childlike faith, but time in the gospel stories and time in prayer and this time spent in communion to come face to face with Emmanuel, God who is certainly with us in Jesus our Lord. We pray in his name. Amen.